are in the middle of Adon Olam. V'hu echad v'ein sheni l'hamshil loy l'hachbira. Literal understanding of this is, he is one, there is no second. To compare to him, to declare as his equal. So the hamshiloi means, comes from the word mushal, right? No one can compare to him. Nothing can be a mushal for Hashem. Lehagbira comes from the word chaver. Right? No one is equal. No one is a chaver. No one is an equal to Hashem. So really, the way it needs to be said is v'hu echad, he is one. V'ein sheni laham shalai lahagbira. Right? There is no second that can be, that is even similar to him, or can be considered his equal. Now, this seems to be repetitive. Once it says that he's one, obviously, v'ein sheni, then there is no second. Laham shiloi lachbira is also a double expression. No one is similar to him or his equal. Both of them seem to be repetitive. So, I heard from Rav Schlesinger, he brought it from one of the Mefarshim. That we find throughout the Torah, we find physical terms attributed to Hashem. Einei Hashem, the eyes of Hashem, Yad Hashem, Yad HaChazaka, the strong hand. The term Vayidaber Hashem, that Hashem speaks, or that Vayishma Hashem, that Hashem hears. We find physical terms attributed to Hashem. And the way the Mefarshim explain these terms, even though we believe Ani Ma'amin Ma'amuna Shleima She'ein Aguf, Hashem is not Aguf, Lo Yasigu Masigi Aguf, Ein Lo Shim Dimyon Klal, right? Nothing can. There's no way we can even think we can understand the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nevertheless, the Torah writes it in a way L'Saber Esal Oizen, in order that we human beings should be able to understand somewhat what's going on. So it's really a mashal. It's not essential to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There is no yad, there is no eyes, there is no hands, the Ribbono Shel Olam has no goof. It's merely a mashal. Now we also find numerous Mamore Chazal that, for example, if somebody says Vayichulu on Friday night, Nasa Shutif LaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Masa Bereishis, becomes a partner to Hashem in the creation of the world. Called Dayan Shedon Din Emes LaMitoy, Chazal say, any judge that judges a din, a judgment. Correct, in a truthful manner. Nasa shutav laKadosh Baruch Hu Masa Bereishis, as if he's a partner to Hashem. So we see that there is laham shiloi, right? There is mishalem for the Ribbono Shel Olam. There are parables through which we understand Hashem. L'saber Esal Oizen. There is lahachbira. There are those that are placed on an equal status. And the answer to that question is, and here, right, here the Paitan says, "Ve'ein sheni la'av shaloi la'achbir." Right, that, nothing can compare it to him, and nothing is his equal. And the answer is that there is a term which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the Rabbeinu Shlomo's oneness. The Rabbeinu Shlomo is one. The Rabbeinu Shlomo is one to the point that nothing else exists. And in the oneness of the Rabbeinu Shlomo, there is no laham shelo lahagbira. There is no less machshava tfisa beklal. There is no machshava can grasp the Rabbeinu Shlomo. That is, Rabbeinu Shlomo is infinite. We are finite. There's no way the finite can grasp the infinite. It's just impossible. However, the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Rabbeinu Shalom contracted kiviyachal part of himself so that we can relate to him. And that's called Shechina. In that, what do you call it, portion, that part of the Rabbeinu Shalom that he allows us to have a relationship with, there is where there are all these, where we find these differences. These Mesholim that are the Einai Hashem, the Yad Hashem, the all these different Chazals about how one can be equal. But in the essence of the Rabbeinu Shalom, in, as we call it in the Sifrei Chabad, Mehusai V'atzmusai, in the essence of the Rabbeinu Shalom, there is no way, there's nothing we can understand of in the Rabbeinu Shlomo's oneness.
The difference between what he is and what he does, right?
What?
It's the difference between
even that, even what he does is already contracting him.
Yes.
Right, so that's already the contraction.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. What he is, it's only one. What
right.
He does is all the other.
Right, we actually say that by Anam Zemiras. By Anam Zemiras, we actually say that. We say, but Gedulascha Gudaisacha, your greatness and your power, Kinu Lusaika Pilosacha, they describe the might of your works. I mean, we cannot describe Hashem's greatness, Hashem's power, because the Rabbeinu Shlomo is infinite. But kinu l'sayka p'l'sayka, all we can do is we can describe it based on Hashem's actions, as Rav Ram says. So the mechaber of Adon Olam is describing Mehusai V'atzmusai, he's describing the Rabbeinu Shlomo's essence. And there you say, Hu Echad. All you can say about the Rabbeinu Shlomo's essence is that one word. Echad. He's one. There's nothing. All these mishalim, all these mavari chazal about that someone is equal to Hashem, that does not play a role when we're talking about Hashem's essence. But I believe that there is a message here for our avoda as well. The very interesting Chazal regarding the Yontav of Shmini Atzeres. Rashi brings it in Parshas Pinchas, and the pasuk "Yom Hashmini Atzeres Tiyalachem," on the eighth day it should be Atzeres. Rashi says it's a mashal to a king who had his children over for a feast for 7 days, and they were about to depart from him. And he said to them, "Ikvu alai oid yom echad. Stay with me one more day. Kasha alai predaschem. It is difficult to me. It was difficult for me. Your separation is difficult for me." So the chazal is very difficult because staying another day is just going to make it more difficult to depart afterwards. How is staying another day going to make it easier to depart? the word in the Torah Kedoshim, when the Torah talks about the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog, it says that Lakachtam Lachem V'yam Harishon, you should take on the first day. Priyatolda V'kabas Tamarim. And the Mefarshim are bothered. Why does it say take on the first day? Sukkot is not on the first day. Sukkot is on the 15th day. It's on the 15th day of Tishrei. Why is it called V'yam Harishon? So the Chazal say, Rishon L'cheshbon Avoinis. It's the first day of the reckoning of the sins. And if Chazal tried to make anything any easier, they just made it more difficult. All the Mefarshim try to understand, what is it? Why is Sukkot? Why is the first day of Sukkot the first day of the reckoning of the sins? So the Tur tries to explain that there's, that between Yom Kippur, there's all the sins are forgiven. And then, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, we're so busy building the Sukkah and buying the Lulav and Esrog that we don't have any time to sin. The first day we actually have a time to sin is the first day of Yontif. So that's why it's called Rishon. Rishon L'cheshbon Avoinis is the first of the reckoning of sins. Very negative approach to Rishon L'cheshbon Avoinis. The famous Kiddush HaSlevi that... the Kiddush Levi says that the Chazal tell us that somebody who does tshuva meyira, tshuva out of fear, so then the zdonis nasu kishgogis. Then his intentional sins are transformed into unintentional sins. That's what tshuva out of yira accomplishes. Somebody does tshuva out of ahava, somebody does tshuva out of love for Hashem. So his din is nasa kizachius. So then his averis are transformed into mitzvahs. So the says the Kedushas Levi, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is a time of din, right? We're all petrified of the din. So the tshuva that we do, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is tshuva meyira. So our averis, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, are transformed into unintentional averis. Also, not that great to have. Sukkot, though, is a time of love. It's a yontif. It's a time of simcha. It's a time of joy. It's a time of ahava. So, the tshuva we do on Sukkot, the averas are transformed into mitzvahs. So now we want to start reckoning those averas. Right? We want our averas. Up until now, we weren't interested in our averas. But now we did tshuva, we're doing tshuva me'ahava, so now we want the averis too. So Rishon L'cheshbon Avoinis, now we want the cheshbon Avoinis too, we want those averis now, because those are going to be counted as mitzvahs. That's what Kedushas Levi says. So I wanted to say a different approach, based on a Rashi in Parshas Bereishis. In the beginning of creation, it says, it was evening and it was morning, one day. Rashi asks, according to the sequence of the Pesukim later on, it says, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, the second day, the third day, the first, the fourth day. It should have said the first day. Why does it say Yom Echad? Why does it say one day? And Rashi answers, because on the first day Hashem was one. Because even the angels weren't created until the second day. So it was a Yom Echad. It was a day of Echad. Only the Rabbeinu Shleilim existed. If we would live our lives in a manner understanding that all that exists is the Divine Shalom, it would not be possible for a Yid to sin. Because whenever we would be tempted, we're bottle. We would negate ourselves, because all that truly exists is Achdus HaBoyer, is the Divine Shalom's Achdus. The problem is that's not how we live our lives. Even the righteous among us, view the Rabbeinu Shleilam as Rishon. Rabbeinu Shleilam is first. I'm also important. Right? But he's first. I'm second. So now there's room for Averis. Right? Because I do exist, I have my needs, and therefore sometimes I'm going to pursue my needs, even though they sometimes contradict with Hashem's will. Sukkot is a time where a yid enters the sukkah. The Sfarim HaKadoshim say that sukkah is the only mitzvah that a yid fully enters a mitzvah with the shtivl, right? With their boots on. There's no other mitzvah that a yid is fully encompassed by the mitzvah. And what that represents is our total bittul to Achdus HaBayir. Our total bittul to the oneness of the Rabbeinu Shleil. We are giving our entire selves over to the Rabbeinu Shleil. That's what the sukkah represents. The Dalet Minim also. The Chazal say that the Esrog represents the heart and the Lulav represents the spine. The Hadassim represent the eyes and the Rosh represent the lips. Once again, the entire being we're giving over to, by shaking the lulav, we're giving over to the Rabbeinu Shleil. So we begin the Yontif of Sukkot still feeling our independence. It's not a Yom Echad, it's a Yom Rishon. L'kachtam lachem Yom Rishon. Right? On the day that's still a Yom Rishon, you should take the lulav and esrog. And the purpose of this day is to transform the Yom Rishon into a Yom Echad. That is the purpose of Sukkot. So Chazal say, what does the Yom Rishon mean? Rishon l'chad ben avoynis. As long as it's Rishon, there's still going to be Averis. Throughout the Sukkot, up until Shmini Atzeres being the peak, Shmini Atzeres is a Yom Echad. It's a day of oneness. And that's why the Rebbeinu Shlom tells us, Ikvo alai oid Yom Echad. Stay with me a day that's going to be a Yom Echad. Kosho alai predaschem. It's difficult for me that you're going to separate. All of Sukkot, it's been all about totally negating yourself, totally giving yourself over to the Rebbeinu Shleilam so that it's a Yom Echad instead of a Yom Rishon. It's very difficult to me to see you separate once again. Stay and absorb what Yom Echad means. So that is what it means when the Python here says, Behu Echad, you know who Echad means? There ain't Sheni, there is no Sheni. Behu Echad means there's only one, only the Rebbeinu Shleil. He's not Rishon, he's Echad. And if it's Echad, there ain't Sheni, there's no second. Now to understand the Laham Shaloi Lahagbira, I think we can understand this based on the Pasuk. Parshas Vayishlach. Pasuk says, Vayivosa Yaakov Levadoi. Yaakov remained on his own. Vayeovek Ish Imayada Lois HaShochar. A man wrestled with him until the morning. And we know that this man was the Sar Shal Esav, right? The Sultan himself. He saw that he could not overcome Yaakov. So he touched the spoon of Yaakov's thigh. And Yaakov's spoon of his thigh moved away. So we need to understand, first of all, it seems that the Sar Shel Esav wrestled with Yaakov because Yaakov remained on his own. What does one thing have to do with the other? Secondly, why did he specifically aim for his kaf yerechle, for the spoon of his thigh? There's a medrash on this pasuk, Ayavasa Yaakov Levadai. Reb Berachia b'shem Reb Simon Omer. Reb Berachia says the name of Reb Simon. He's referencing to a pasuk of Mezayis HaBracha. The pasuk says, Mezayis HaBracha, Ein kekel yeshurun, Reichev shamayim be'ezracha, uvegavasa shechakim. Right? There is no God. Ein kekel yeshurun. There is no one like God, Yeshurun. Yeshurun is Klal Yisrael. Right? Ein kekel. There is no one like God, Yeshurun. Rechav Shemayim, he who rides the heavens, be'ezracha, is in your assistance. Uvegavasa shechakim, he who rides the heavens with his greatness, he is be'ezrach. That's what the pasuk says. Now, let's go back to the Medrash. Reb Rachi b'shem Reb Simon Omer, Ein kokel. There is no one like God. Umi kokel, but who is like God? Yeshurun. Yisrael Sab. Yaakov Avinu. He's called Yeshurun, and he is like God. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kosuv Boi, V'nizgav Hashem Levadoi, just like by Hashem, it says, V'nizgav Hashem Levadoi, that Hashem will remain on his own. Av Yaakov, so also Yaakov, Ayivosa Yaakov Levadoi. So also by Yaakov, Ayivosa Yaakov Levadoi. It's a lashon of Medrash Rabbah. And obviously, the Medrash Rabbah is very difficult. What is the Medrash saying? Ein kokel. There is no one like God. Yaakov is like God. Just because it says, Ayavasa Yaakov Levadoi. So I'd like to say like this. Chazal tell us, Chayiv Adam Loimar, a person is obligated to say, the world was created for me. Now, the depth of what that means is that a person, every yid, carries the responsibility of the world. We cannot shirk our responsibilities. We cannot assume anyone else will do anything. The world lies on our shoulders, each and every one of us. We have to conduct ourselves as if we are the only one in the world. Bishvili nivra ha'olam. This is the attitude. It's a very, very difficult task. It's a difficult task for one to assume that they are the only ones that exist. And obviously, there's got to be a balance, meaning when it comes to Ben Adam Chaveiro, obviously, a person needs to realize that there's others quite the contrary, negate oneself to others. But when it comes to responsibility, specifically when it comes to responsibility, a person has to live in this world like the Rabbeinu Shel Olam exists in this world. V'hu echad v'ein sheni. I am one and there is no other. I am, and therefore, if I don't do it, no one else will do it. We have to live with that responsibility regarding min adam lamakim, knowing that there is, it's not like, okay, everyone else is davening, I'm also davening. Everyone else is doing this mitzvah. I'm also doing this mitzvah. So therefore, I'm just a number. I'm not really, what I'm going to do is not really important. No. You have, to you, you are the only person in existence. V'shvili nivra olam. That is how a yid needs to live their lives. As if one is the only person in existence, the only person that is serving Hashem, the only person that is doing the mitzvah, the only person that is davening, it obviously will cause the person to take themselves much, much more seriously than if we're just one out of a couple million. And it's not just that that's the manner we have to see it. It's a reality. It is an absolute reality, because to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, each and every one of us is a world unto our own. And what one person can accomplish, no one else can accomplish. Yaakov Avinu reached this level. Vayevoser Yaakov Levadoi. Yaakov came to a level, to this lofty level, that Yaakov remained all by himself. He was himself, he envisioned himself, he realized, it wasn't just envisioned, he realized that he was alone in the world. And that what he can do and no one else could do. And that is something that threatens the Satan in a manner that nothing else does. Because if a person lives their life that way, the Satan can check out. Now, where do we get this from? Where do we get this type of avodah from? From Nizgav Hashem Levado. Because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is one. V'hu echad ve'in sheni. And the Torah HaKadoshah tells us, Uboy Sidbak, we're supposed to connect to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. How do you connect to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? His Davik Midrachav. Connect to his ways. What are his ways? V'hu echad ve'in sheni. He's one. There is no other. That's how the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is. And that's the way a Yid needs to conduct themselves. V'hu echad ve'in sheni. No one else can do what I can do. And that's what the Medrash is saying. Ain't Kokel. Nobody's like God. Me Kokel. Do you know who is like God? Yeshurun. Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Avinu reached this level of he's all by himself. He realized that he is alone, the only one in this world, similar to the Venizgav Hashem Levadai. Now, as I mentioned before, the pasuk is Ein Kokel Yeshurun Roichev Shemaim Bezrecha. Kokel, right? But then the Medrash tells us that take out the Ein. Kakel Yeshurin. Yaakov is like Kale. Kakel Yeshurin Roichev is Kof Yud Reish, which is Yerech. Right? Kof Yud Reish is, it's out of order, is Yerech. The Kof of Yerech is the main word here. Kakel, like God. Be like God. Hu Echad Ve'en Shein. That is what the Satan was aiming for. The kaf of Yerech. Vayiga b'kaf Yerechai. He touched the kaf of Yaakov's, of the Yerech. The kakel, Yaakov, wanting to be like the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. V'hu echad v'en sheni. V'nizgav Hashem levadai. So that he should be vayivase Yaakov levadai. That's where the Satan... That's what the Sultan had to aim for if he wanted to win this battle. So the reason why we have to know that the Rabbeinu Shlom the Echad Vein Sheni, do you know why we need to know that? Leham Shilai, because we need to be similar to him. Lehachbiro, we need to connect to him. We need to be mechaber to him. So unlike the literal pshat in this, V'hu Echad Vein Sheni Leham Shilai Lehachbiro, it's exactly the opposite. Do you know why V'hu Echad Vein Sheni? Do you know why we need to realize that the Rabbeinu Shlom is one and that there is no other? Because we need to do the same. We need to be like him. We need to be similar to him. We need to connect to him. And the way to do so is through Vayivasar Yaakov Levada. Because the Rabbeinu Shlom is the Nizgav Hashem Levada. The Gemara says in Masechtas Pesach, Nafkuf Yud Ches, Amud Aleph, that when Avraham Avinu was thrown into the fiery furnace, into Ur Kasdan, when Nimrod threw him into the fiery furnace, Rabbeinu Shlom looked down and said, Ani Yachid Ba'olami, V'hu Yachid Ba'olamai. I am one in my world, and Avraham Avinu is one in his world. It's only right that the Yachid should come and save the Yachid. What's Chazal telling us? Chazal is telling us exactly what we're talking about. The way Avraham Avinu lived his life was, I'm Yochid Ba'olami, I'm the only one in this world. And that's how Avraham Avinu made a difference. And the reason why Avraham Avinu was saved, because he was Yochid Ba'olami. And each and every one of us needs to realize that we are Yochid. We are one in our world. There's no one else that can accomplish what we need to accomplish. And there's no one else that can make a difference the way we can make a difference. The way each and every one of us can make a difference. Because we're echad me'ein sheni. Literal understanding of this is without beginning and without conclusion. He is the power and dominion. I heard from Rav Schlesinger that ordinarily, people think, we all know that we have to have bitachon. That the Rabbi, everything is in the Rabbeinu Shlom's hands. Nevertheless, we have to do hishtadlus. So, we come to believe that, okay, we have to do the, we have to start. We have to be, we have to do the beginning. We have to do the hishtadlus. And the Rabbeinu Shlom finishes it off. So at least we can take credit for the Ishtalas. Or sometimes we believe that we feel that there's some kind of gift that we receive from heaven, an opportunity. And at that point, that's where our shtadlus kicks in. We have to finish it off. So sometimes we give the Rabbeinu Shlom reward, we give him credit for starting things off. Sometimes we give him credit for finishing things off. But in essence, the Rabbeinu Shlom does everything. Right? We have to go through the motions. Any ishtadlis that we do is just going through the motions. But really, Hashem is doing everything. And that's what he's saying. B'li reishis, b'li sachlis. Rabbeinu Shlom is not doing the beginning. Rabbeinu Shlom is not doing the end. He's doing everything. V'loy ha'oyiz v'ham yisra. He has the power and the dominion. He is doing absolutely everything. The Mefarshim explained there's a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk says, "Achaz dibur alekim shtayim zushamati kiyaz alekim." L'cha Hashem chasad. The pasuk says like this: L'cha Hashem chasad. To you Hashem is kindness. Ki ata teshalom le'ish kemaseu, because you reward a person according to his actions. So the question is, that's not chesed, that's din. L'cha Hashem chesed, right, to you Hashem is kindness. Ki ata teshalom ish kemaseu, because you reward a person according to his actions. If Hashem would reward a person more than their actions, then that would be chesed. So the Sforim explain that even when it comes to ruchnis, right, we feel that we have bechira, and we choose right over wrong, and then the good things that we do, we feel very good about it. That's our doing. But truly, without Siyata Dishmaya, without the Rebbeinu Shlalom assisting us and practically almost doing everything for us, we wouldn't be able to do anything. Lulei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says Yitzra Shel Adam is Gavra Alav V'Chol Yoyim. Hashem, a person's Yetahara overcomes him every day. Lulei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Yochol. If Hashem wouldn't assist us, we'd never be able to overcome our Yetahara. Nevertheless, even though any good deed that we do is done primarily by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, through us, Hashem gives us a reward as if we did it by ourselves. That's Hashem's kindness. Ulecha Hashem chesed. To you Hashem is chesed, ki ata teshalom le'ish, you reward a person, ki ma'aseyo, as if he would have done it by himself. That's chesed. V'li reishis, v'li sachlis. Right? Rebbeinu Shel Olam is not starting off, he's not finishing off. To him is the power and dominion. There's a this week's parasha begins with the parasha of Bikurim, parasha of Kisavai. Last week's parasha concludes with the parasha of Amalek. Amalek is called in parashas Vezeis Avracha. No, I'm sorry, in parashas Balak. Amalek is called Reishis Goyim Amalek. Amalek is the first of the nations. And here we have a mitzvah, Lekachta Mereishis Kol Priyo Adama. Here we have a mitzvah, take from the first of the fruit of the land. Now these parashas are written right next to each other. Amalek at the end of Parshas Kiseitze, and which is the Reishis Goyim Amalek, and then we have in the beginning of Parshas Kisavai, Lekachta Mereishis Kol Priyo Adama. We find that Klal Yisrael is called Bereishis. Right? The first Rashi in Parshas Bereishis says, Bereishis b'shul Yisrael shnekru Bereishis. The world was created for Yisrael, that is called Bereishis. Not only is Amalek called Bereishis, Klal Yisrael is called Bereishis. The Torah b'shul HaTorah shnekru is Bereishis. The Torah is called Bereishis. So, is Bereishis a good thing or is a bad thing? So, I'd like to suggest that there are two types of reishis. There is a reishis, which is a beginning. And we're very careful to see to it that our beginnings start off well. Why do we see to it that our beginnings start off well? Because we want everything that follows to go well also. Right? So we're very makbid. Chinuch, the chinuch of our children, we're very makbid, that we're very careful that our children should grow up, they should be, that everything should be in the best way possible, because we know they're in their racious years. And however the racious years are, chances are that whatever follows will follow the racious. That's one manner of reishis. That's an acceptable and actually praiseworthy form of reishis. There's another type of reishis. The reishis that type of reishis is, okay, there's God. We have to take care of him. In the beginning, let's give him what he needs, get him out of the way, and then we'll do what we need to do. That's Amalek. Right? I got a daven before I go to work. Let me do this. Let me get out of the way. And then I'll be on my own. I'll be able to take care of my needs. Instead of the davening being the reishis of the day, so that the entire day should follow that reishis. No, it's the reishis of, you know, let me throw God a bone, and then I'll be on my own. Reishis, if you look at the end of the pasuk, reishis goyim Amalek, v'achariso yadei oyved. Right? The end of Amalek is destruction. Because his reishis is okay, let's just get God out of the way. Klal Yisrael's reishis is a different type of reishis. Our reishis is so that everything that comes after the reishis should be drawn after it. Hein go'al ti'aschem. Do you know when Hashem says, do you know when I'll redeem you? When achris k'reishis, when your end will be like your reishis. That is the way a yid needs to, that's the reishis of a yid. And that's what Bikurim represents. The first of our fruits, the first of our shearings, the first of our children, we give to the Rebbeinu Shalom because we want everything else to follow. It's not just, okay, let's throw the Rebbeinu Shalom a bone so we can have the rest for ourselves. No, we want everything else to follow that reishis. That's what our reishis is about. So our reishis is not about that there should be a reishis and a sachlis. Quite the contrary, we want everything to be part of all one. So b'li reishis, b'li sachlis. We want it to be without a reishis, without a sachlis. It's all about, it's one unit of serving the Divine Shlom. That is what our reishis is about. Our reishis is not about that there should be one reishis and one sachlis. It's all one unit. B'li reishis, b'li sachlis, because we understand v'lo ha'oiz v'ham Yisra, that the Rebbeinu Shlomo has all the power and dominion.